The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to My Brother, Me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy.
And I'm your sweet baby, Griffin, the Swamp Thing McElroy.
Hey, Swamp Thing, we're so happy you could make it on the program.
Get off that hover boat. What's you afraid of? You're going to get your feet all swampy. Good joints, a good earth down in there.
Or join
Justin, stop interrupting him. Just let him talk like that.
Join my hydration specialist, Griffin McElroy.
Grab yourself a hurricane, baby. Grab yourself a... Wait, where am I going now? Where in the world is Griffin's
hold on tight. This magic carpet of accidents is
backing
hard.
New Orleans, baby. You never know where you're going to end up. Is it going to be New Orleans or is it going to be the Deep South? Wait, where is this house? Is this Florida?
Griffin just fluctuating back and forth across the Gulf of Mexico.
I'm a mystified Floridian, and I've never seen anything like this before. Now, here we go back to the Zatarans.
All right, Foghorn Lazydico, maybe you could tell us why your accent has been so impacted.
Well, I just got back from New Orleans, where I had myself a lot of ratatouille.
On the plane there, you watch the movie Ratatouille.
I went down to New Orleans and a mouse cooked me on my meal. Walked around for like fucking 100 miles because they haven't invented public transportation yet down in New Orleans. And I did develop myself a hemorrhoid big enough to draw a face on.
You know, a lot of times when you're in New Orleans, you will ask that a mouse prepare your food, but you really need to go back into the kitchen to make sure, because mm-hmm. they will try to tell you that a mouse has prepared your food. A lot of times, it's a possum. You know, it's not even a mouse.
It's a guy named Possum.
Got myself a flank steak, 16 ounces. How's a mouse even going to pick up something that big? Mm-hmm. You tell me that. He can't do it. Don't be afraid of this swamp water.
Did they have a? Did you take a traveler?
Oh God, yeah. No, that's like
Savannah, Georgia. But
well, yeah, no, you can do that as long as it's an open plastic container. You can drink whatever the fuck. You can drink heroin out of it as long as it's an open solo cup. If you
did
can just
you get
chug
into any voodoo.
No, I didn't.
Did you eat any voodoo donuts?
I ate 12 voodoo donuts, and every time I did, a bigger donut was destroyed.
What?
Yeah. That's how it works.
My jelly!
Travis was staring at that big donut out in L.A., and it just all of a sudden started evaporating.
It just got just completely wrecked. The big donut
Griffin
from the rocket.
Traveled back in time and stopped the donut's parents from meeting.
Mm-hmm. With the time-traveling voodoo donut. What are we doing?
I don't know. This sounds like we're reciting the lyrics of a Cherry Pop and Daddy's record.
Time-traveling voodoo donut. Beep, beep, beep,
beep. Come on out with the flank steak made by a mouse. Okay.
That's more Brian Setzer territory.
You know what, Kmart? This is worth the $3.99 I paid for the CD. I'm glad I made this purchase. This is a worthy follow-up.
I had a terrific time in New Orleans. I was kidding about going near swamp water. Not so much about the hemorrhoid.
So if you haven't listened to our podcast before, what we do is we... take your questions, we mix them up with a little Cajun spice, and then we turn them into wisdom.
Got that Creole comedy.
Creole comedy right here on My Brother, Me. Let's get into it. Every time I hold open two doors in a row, like walking out of a shopping mall, I'm not sure if I should expect the person to thank me twice or if the initial thank you for the first door is implied for the second door. Vice versa. If someone holds open two doors for me, should I say thank you both times or just the one for everything? That's from the Curious Courteous Canuck in Canada.
I'm confused by the question because
me too.
I always understood it to be whoever holds the first
door
walks through the second door while you hold it.
Like, oh, yeah. Right.
So, World War II veteran, a 102-year-old World War II veteran, you say, "Hey, Frank, what the fuck? I thought we had each other there."
Otherwise, Griffin, what you're looking at is I open first door, right? Person walks through. Then they wait for me to then get to the second door.
Yeah. It's like a
If they have to wait, you fucked up. You got to juke around them.
What is this weird Cinderella's footman like idea? What happened, Pastor? Excuse me. Let's make it the second door for you.
I'm saying that's what's expected of you when you run into a 100 a surviving member of the greatest generation. If you juke around them,
one of Nick Fury's Howling Commando.
But if they don't thank you again, fuck them forever. I don't care if you were on the beaches of Normandy.
Well, it's hard for them to thank you because they're constantly howling.
Well, I don't think that was a thing.
I think it's weird to hold open both doors. I think that the person would probably be so distracted by your desperate need to touch doors that they wouldn't think to say thank you twice. They would be too busy thinking, what are they doing?
So it's a thank you, and then a what the fuck?
Like, what are you doing?
At what point does holding the door open just become such standard courtesy that it's just like, oh no, it's you can only go negative if you don't do it. Like, the courtesy is to hold open the door. Like, to me now, if I'm like walking through a door and someone's right behind me and I don't hold it, I'm like, oh, I'm a jerk. And when I do hold it, I'm like, oh, I'm just a human being. Like, I'm just a normal person who didn't close a door in someone's face. It's not courtesy. It's just, like, basic human nature.
Mm-hmm. Maya.
I don't think I don't need to be thanked for that. You not hating me is thanks enough.
My periphery's all fucked up. I basically don't have it. I'm basically a horse with those cool horse glasses on. Mm-hmm. And I never know when a human being's behind me, which would make me very vulnerable in, say, like a ninja scenario. Mm-hmm. Or just a sneaky murderer. I would just have no idea. There could be one behind me right now. Hold on. There's not.
Not.
So I almost never hold the door open in the style that Travis has just described, where it's just like you walk through it and maybe you give it like an extra second or two of leverage. I fuck that up a lot. Which my wife can attest to, because she has seen me fuck that up a lot with her perfect periphery.
It is often a very funny moment to me, though, where like I see someone go through a door in front of me, they let go of the door, then see that I'm there, and you watch their hand like kind of move as they're like, should I grab it? No, it's too late now. Just gotta keep going.
We could do a whole episode about door holding. Because what's the etiquette of when you hold it and then the person who's coming actually slows way down? Or maybe they're just much slower. Yeah, we could.
There is no worse lock of the gaze than I'm opening this door for you and you are too far away. Mm-hmm. And we both know it. And I don't know where we go from here. If you speed up, I feel bad. If you slow down, then you're going to feel awkward about it. It's a nightmare.
The only thing worse than that is the the church letting out, where you hold open the door for one person and pretty soon like 30 people are walking through.
Yeah, I would say that's
stuck in that like, oh, when do I let go?
At some point you have to just let it go and walk.
Yeah, I would actually agree with you, Travis. That is the only worse thing.
I meant in a door context.
Do you guys want a Yahoo?
Sure.
This Yahoo was sent in.
Wait, I have a question that I meant to ask.
Oops.
How do they do it in Japan, Griffin? How would I hold a door open in the Japanese style?
Well, I'm glad that you've asked this, Justin. All of the doors in Japan are hard light holograms. Do you guys want a Yahoo or not? Fucking tell me. Tell me now.
Yeah. I am going to get in the Japanese style going as my brother.
We'll get some fucking hard light hologram doors and stop fucking tipping. This Yahoo was asked, sent in by Drew Davenport, level billion Juju shaman. He is a shaman of the Drew arts. Thank you. A druid. What the fuck? How have we been this long?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Drew, it's by Yahoo Answers user Just Me who asks. Okay, they land on Mars. Then what? Like, what are they going to do?
Good question.
It's a really This person has this as a goof. That is going to cross somebody's mind when they touch down. Like,
there's that mission. Oh,
like, I never thought we'd get this far. We didn't really plan.
Oh, fuck.
Actually, so land.
Look, guys, I found a rock. Yeah, me too. Fuck. Okay.
Did you guys bring any bags or anything to put the rocks in? Or?
Yeah. I mean, they're not coming back. Like, this is this mission. What is it? Like, 100 people, like, get there, and they're like, fucking, all right, we're here. We're the first people to die on Mars. We're going to have a Martian baby. Fuck. It's super fucked up. Let's, okay.
There's nothing funnier to me. Like, obviously, I think, like, I don't know. I'm sort of a mix of two minds about the whole, like, going to... like live on Mars, like that's your life if you want to spend it that way. It's like you're going to be alone. There's going to be other people there. That's fine. It's not actually going to happen, by the way. But like, I think that's fine. What I like is the decision that they definitely aren't going to be able to figure out a way back. Like, it is not even on the list of
that.
Like,
would probably be day two. Day one, we did some experiments on some rocks. Day two. Should we, like, try and build another ship? Can we turn these rocks like, into fuel? Because they just fucking launched House of Cards Season 3, and I would very much like to see that before I die in 60 years.
Yeah, all I know is that for me, like, every time I pack to, like, go to San Francisco, you know, 3 hours away, I'm like, ooh, what am I forgetting? And Teresa always reminds me, don't worry, like, they have toothbrushes there. You know, they have socks there. Not so much with Mars. What if you land and you're like, oh, I didn't bring socks.
Socks. I forgot socks.
Can anyone get on the Wi-Fi here? Oh, no, you can't, because we're... No,
there isn't any.
We fucked up because we're on the fourth rock from the sun.
So you're going to Mars, huh? Yeah. How do you think the effort to make another ship there is going to go? Well, bad.
Probably well, I don't know how to make biscuits from scratch, so probably not build a rocket ship.
Do they have... They don't have water per se... And I've heard that's important vis-a-vis living.
Mm. I thought we would just go to Mars, NASA. They don't have it here.
Hey, guys, I'm going to Mars tomorrow for the rest of my life. Can anyone recommend any good iPad games I can download for the trip that will last me for the rest of my life? I've heard this Monument Valley game is good. Will it last me for the rest of my life?
Well,
I also might need a battery backup.
What the phrase the rest of your life means is vastly different when you're headed to a planet that does not have water on it. Because that raises a lot more question marks about exactly how long of a span we're talking about.
Because if it did, fucking Interstellar would have been a much shorter film. And a much better film, I would say. 20 minutes. We need to find life on another planet. Oh, there's Mars. I guess we can just like fucking cab over there. Can we share an Uber? Okay. Here we are.
They also have decided that like... It's also a sort of negative saying, like, yeah, we're going to go die on Mars. It's kind of a weird, like, point of view on how you think humanity's space travel development is going to go. Hey, do you think in your lifetime humanity will have a rocket that can get both to Mars and back? Like, that doesn't seem that crazy if you think about it. Like, all you need is a ship that can make the return journey. Like,
Justin, how many people do you think sit there and go, I'm going to go die on Mars? Like,
that's what they're doing.
That's what they're doing. That's what they're all doing, Travis. Like, that is the deal. None of them are even thinking about a return trip. Like, that. This is what they're doing.
Do you think they just finished Breaking Bad and were like, well, that's it. That's as good as it gets. So
not going to get any better than that.
These people are heroes.
And then they're like in the ship and they see a billboard as they're flying out for Better Call Saul. Like, wait!
Oh, shit.
No, I would love that character.
I forgot I love my kids or whatever. Send me back.
I think you can own... These people are science heroes. And we're goofing on them and we shouldn't be because they're fucking science heroes. And I am picking up what they are putting down in a major way. But what are y'all gonna do up there for real, though? Give me a team of like... 85-year-olds and shoot them up there. Fucking Space Cowboys 2. Let's go die together on Mars. Cool. I'm fine with that because you can squeeze fucking 15 years out of Euchre. You can squeeze 15 years out of the game Hearts.
Bring a super hard puzzle.
Or just bring up a billion-piece puzzle and you're cool. You're probably even going to have a better time up there than you would in Florida. But, like, fucking... Oh, man, what are you going to do?
Here's my pitch for the movie. Like, 185-year-olds and one, like, totally tubular 15-year-old.
Oof.
And his skateboard. Because the lesson gravity is going to make for some sick tricks while all the 85-year-olds are like, stop skateboarding on Mars. And I want to watch that movie.
Cut to the mom just shouting, we forgot Kevin on the spaceship to Mars. He's going to Mars. Planet Alone. Home Alone 5.
He's going
to
do sick kickflips. But also die.
And also die on Mars.
Next question.
I love watching X-Files. But sometimes it's just a little too freaky watching it at night by myself. No one will watch it with me, and I have a vividly active imagination. How do I cure my heebie-jeebies so I can watch my show without having night terrors? And that's from in Oklahoma. I hope I said that right.
I get it.
I am with you. I like spooky stuff, but I have to keep it in the daytime hours. Rachel and I have actually stopped watching Walking Dead. Well, we should probably just stop watching Walking Dead, period. But we have stopped making it the last thing we watch before we go to bedtime. Not just because it's like scary or whatever, because it isn't. But it is fucking depressing. And that's my bigger thing, is like, if a show is going to be just sort of unswervingly dark. I fucked up last night. I watched the House of Cards season 3 first episode, which has some, let's call it, dark material in it. And fuck my rims up. Fuck my rim cycle right up. And I wish I hadn't done it. So I feel you. Just got to set a timer on that shit.
We did that with Walking Dead, where it was like, we can't do this the last thing before we go to sleep. And then it was, we can't watch this, you know, when we're just a couple hours away from bed. And then it was, we can't watch it after 6. And then it just
kind And then of, it was, we can't watch it watch because it. They're not fucking doing anything on that show anymore. They're just walking just around X-Files and dying. With- it's a good name for the show because they're just walking around and then one of them will die.
They should just, why don't you just like watch X-Files with your morning coffee? Like to start your day, you're going to watch a dude crawl through like an air duct and dislocate his bones and eat someone's liver or whatever while you sip on your coffee and eat your Cheerios.
Jumpstart your day with some spooks and some scares.
Jumpstart your way the Scully way. X-Files.
The best part of waking up is a boneless man in your air ducts eating your liver.
Because for me, like, what I would watch stupid scary stuff, like Are You Afraid of the Dark? And the episodes that were legit just like goofy and stupid. But then my brain would kick over to like, oh, that was stupid. But what if? And then pretty soon I was up till 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about like a week ago. I'm a grown ass man and still my overactive imagination does that shit. So just watch it in the morning and then watch a bunch of SpongeBob and like wash it away.
Jesus Christ, Travis. Is it just Nickelodeon programming for you from this point on?
Listen, I have a very particular set of tastes, and it's basically like I only enjoy things for children.
You've got Jack disease, like, but culturally,
I actually like that. I actually like that chaser idea of you watch something, but then you know you sneak a Gravity Falls or something like that in right after it. Someone's gonna pick your spirits right up, and Parks and Rec is great for this.
What's Antiques what Roadshow.
Okay, well, no, but sure.
Oh, see, I only enjoy things for 5-year-olds or 85-year-olds. That's what I think. Either I'm going to watch, like, Avatar The Last Airbender, or I'm going to watch, you know, like, Property Brothers.
Travis has both Jack and Benjamin Button. So some you would think he was, like, right in the time of his life where he met in the middle and, like, carried himself like a grown-ass man. But no, because they both reversed and turned around, and now he's got Benjamin Button and Jack on either side, bookending him, trapping him in a prison of his own creation.
As I work through grad school, I nanny for a beautiful 1.5-year-old girl. I love spending time with her, and I can't complain about the money. However, when I take her out in the town, I'm often confused for her mother. Should I try to let admirers know that she isn't my child? This has led to some awkward situations, like the time I responded to, "What a beautiful baby you have," with, "Oh, she's not mine. I just found her like this."
Well, don't say that.
Don't say that. Especially not with that inflection I just unintentionally gave you. Brothers, how can I let people know that I'm a nanny and not a mom without a call to the police? That's from Kidless in California. Might I suggest a broom and a carpet bag and an umbrella and not a broom?
Okay.
Because I forgot what Mary Poppins
looked like. A witch's broom, an umbrella, some steampunk goggles.
Okay, I heard
a mariachi hat.
I heard aerobics, and I heard a Mexican restaurant. Okay, now I need a scenario. Sweating up the check. Okay, here we go.
How about, hey, how about number one nanny shirt?
Shirt?
Yeah, or nanny. Visor, some kind of branding.
Can we, is this something, listen, Facebook for me has become, well, a prison of my own creation. So many things in your life are a prison of your own creation. And if you take a look around, you're really going to start to see the bars showing. But Facebook for me.
But is, that's liberation. That's the first step to liberation. Remember, the con is on.
The con is on. Realize you're already in a prison of your own creation. 90% of Facebook to me is advertisements for, let's see, I got one this morning that's like, it's an Austin thing. You wouldn't understand it. Don't worry, leave it up to Griffin McElroy. Like, it's like the fucking, like, books that your parents would get made for you. Like, Griffin's a 6-year-old space astronaut. He's going to Mars to die. Like, those books that Facebook has basically become that for me. Are we missing out on a nanny-centric market of people who are fucking, how about this? Nanny and proud of
nanny
it.
Nanny and proud?
Nanny, how about, nanny. No, you didn't let me finish. Nanny and proud of it. Put that shit on a shirt. If every nanny buys it, we're bajillionaires.
What about a t-shirt that says, it's not my baby, gotta love me?
Mm-hmm.
Because, cash in on because, the cultural aspect.
And then on the back, because I'm a nanny and I love it.
And I'm very proud. I can't stress enough the pride I feel with completing a good job of watching this child that's not mine.
How about front side? I'm not a boo-boo nanny. And then on the back side, just I'm just a regular nanny and I love it.
You love it so damn much.
You can't spell awesome without au pair.
You can't spell awesome pair without au pair. Kind of. And even kind then, of. Not.
And even then, it's a stretch.
You can't spell Australian pair without au pair.
There we go. Maybe. Yes.
I'll might allow. Be a bit of a reach. Are you Australian?
I think there's some symbols like an umlaut or a French umlaut on there.
Can you change something about the baby to make it clear that you two are not related? Can you make the baby a different race than you?
Can you re-roll the baby?
Can you change the baby's characteristics? Is it too late to respec this baby? We just changed Drew from a shaman to a druid, so I don't think it's outside the realm of possibilities that maybe your baby is now a ranger.
Oh, I can tell this isn't your baby. It's a tiefling.
This is a tiefling baby, I understand. Justin, hold on, because we did gloss over it. Did you just maybe suggest baby blackface?
I don't think I definitely did.
I think it's maybe open to interpretation what you said, and perhaps my interpretation is just one of many, because there's a lot of beautiful races out there.
Yeah, I think that this is a situation a lot like when people say, like, hey, how's it going? All you got to say when they're like, oh, what a beautiful little girl, just say, thank you. I don't think you need to say, like, she's not my, oh, I don't want to mislead you. This isn't my baby. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Super cool. Like, I don't really care.
Like, a business transaction where that information becomes important, like, you're selling it. Like, I don't think that.
You're selling the baby?
Why are you selling the baby? That's, like, the worst au pairing that you could do.
That's like number one of the three laws of au pairing.
Don't sell the kid.
You can't harm the kid unless the kid asks you to harm it. I have to reread Isaac Asimov because I've forgotten the rest.
Look out, it's Will Smith.
Uh-oh.
I feel like I would be
he's got a baby arm.
The kid is Alan Tudyk.
Do you guys think I would be a good au pair?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I feel that in my heart that, like, that would have been a good career path.
If the baby just wants to chill. I think if the baby wants to wants to sketch up on a skateboard and do some truck tricks.
Hey, Uncle Justin, it's time to get active.
I don't think so.
All right, our first activity is, why don't you bring me a laptop and load it up to monster.com for me? Because I'm going to need a new career path.
I actually did that when I babysat, and the kid was like, I'm going to go outside and play basketball. I'm like, or we could watch SpongeBob. What would you think about that, huh?
Oh,
a little
man.
On the couch time? Not going outside?
Couch time for you and me.
You know, we could go on a couch adventure, use our imaginations. We can go wherever you want. Like, I want to go to the park. I want to play in the creek in the park. It's like around the corner. It's like one block over. We can go to the park and just, like, throw a frisbee around. Or we can go on a couch mind adventure and we could pretend that we're in a park throwing frisbee. But, like, we could easily super do that thing. And it would be like super duper easy. It would be.
If you love nature so much, why don't you check out the Phoenix on my computer? Because this is Phoenix Online, and I'm going back to college.
I love that Justin's imagining of him being on a career path involves him quitting that job. So deep are those roots in Justin's mind.
Yeah.
So deep are Justin's commitment issues to a career path.
Yeah, just completely. Yeah, I can't be that. I can't find. Well, how are you going to advertise that you want a less active kid? Like, do you know Brayden? Do you know Brayden? Is your kid less active than Brayden? Then have I got an au pair for you?
Wait, are there two of you? Why did you emphasize pair?
It'll seem like that. That's how good I am at it. That you'll wonder if there's an au pair of
that,
me.
That man is sitting and playing video games on his couch so good, it looks like there's two of him.
That man is watching TV with kids and actually secretly scrolling pornography on his phone.
Justin.
He's worst in a lot of ways.
He's super bad. Wait a minute. Is there one or two of him? He sucks so much.
I hope it's only one because he's terrible.
This shithead is so shitty, I'm seeing double vision.
But this kind of incompetence can't be contained in one corporeal form, you'll say to yourself. Let's go to Mighty Time. I want to tell you all about BlueApron.com. Blue Apron is like one of, it has literally changed my life. And I say that and you're going to sound like I'm blowing smoke. But Blue Apron is a service where you sign up and every week they'll send you meals in the mail. All the ingredients you'll need to make a meal, I should say, because it's not done for you. You've got to meet them halfway on this. They'll send you fresh, delicious meals that are easy to make for $9.99 a meal. It's a refrigerated box with the meat, the spices, the vegetables, everything you'll need. And it's a different thing every time. The reason I say it's changed my life is there are well-balanced meals. And that's always the part for me at dinner time is figuring out, like, you know, you're tired. You don't want to put the time into like driving to the store and all that stuff. So you get a pizza or you get something unhealthy. With Blue Apron, it's settled for you. You know what you have to do, and it's all there ready for you to start digging into. So it's a really great healthy option. Most meals are only 500 to 700 calories per serving. We're talking about stuff like, let's see, what did I have? This week I got lamb shawarma.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. That sounds awesome.
Oh, we did that too.
Kind of dip good into that. Last week I had some beef lo mein in like an orange sauce with gailan on it, and I actually get a lot of vegetables in the Blue Apron box that I could not buy locally.
I mean, and that's the cool thing is not only are you getting the main dish, but it also includes a side dish as well. So with the shawarma, there was a radish salad, and like we did crispy chicken thighs and like a whole separate other side dish, and it was ridiculous how good it was. Like, if it's so much food and it's only $9.99 per meal.
So if you want to try it, you're going to go to blueapron.com/mybrother, and you can get two meals for free by going to blueapron.com/mybrother. That address, one more time, blueapron.com/mybrother.
Here's the thing, guys. When you're not eating delicious food from Blue Apron, you're going to be wearing underwear.
Sometimes those may even cross over. It's impossible to say.
No, I cook bottomless because I like to feel the air on me while I'm expressing myself culinarily, and I'm saying this, and I'm thinking about like grease splatter, and I'm uncomfortable.
That's why you have to wear one of those big like Irish thick knit sweaters, cable knit, so it hangs down to like your knees. It's
and
kind
that's
of adorable.
A sexy look for a boy.
Yeah.
I want to tell you guys about the best underwear you can buy, and that is of course MeUndies. MeUndies is the most comfortable underwear that exists in the world. They're dedicated to offering you comfy undies that fit great, they don't ride up, and they actually pull moisture away from your skin so you're cool all day long. I wore them almost exclusively down in Nolens, and that swamp water didn't get anywhere near my zone. Stay out of there, swamp water. I have a certain barometric level. I prefer to keep things down there, and MeUndies got me. They're environmentally friendly. They have cool styles for both men and women. They look great. Go to MeUndies.com and you can look at pictures of people wearing underwear.
And they look great, and the underwear looks great, and you can own them. If you go to MeUndies.com/mybrother, you can get 20% off your first order and free shipping on that order. No kidding. It's the best underwear that exists. Treat yourself to it, because you won't regret it.
We have a message for Lydia Syphilis Diller Carlton.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay.
And it's from Edwin Doublefist.
I feel like you didn't nail the emphasis there.
Let me try. Lydia Syphilis Diller.
No. Lydia Syphilis Diller.
Oh, okay. I see.
There you go.
Carlton from Edwin Doublefist Zuniga. Yeah, I probably nailed it. Happy birthday to the truest friend a long-haired kid from the streets of L.A. could have. Sorry the end of 2014 sucked, but together we'll avoid lebonking it in 2015. Looking forward to fire pits, dice rolling, pasta necklaces, judging young kids at the rock and roll shows, and slapping Fugazi songs on my belly in the years to come. Keep it streets, L.C.
Wow. Sometimes I just feel like I have this open window. Like, it's almost like you're driving past and you stare in people's windows and you think, like, I saw something I'm not meant to see.
Yeah, driving past. Not, like, looking in for long periods
of time. Not, like, stopping, like, weird. Oh, wait, hold on. Let me listen to that belly slap. Is that Fugazi? Is that Fugazi or is that Pavement? I can't.
You know, some people say that the only way to listen to music is on vinyl, but I think the only way to listen to music is on belly slaps.
It's
on Edwin's belly.
I like to take 2 7-inch LPs, and I use those as circular drumsticks against my belly fat.
I do it against other people no matter how much they ask me to stop.
Got a message for Charles R. This is a name. Charles R. Mountain from Caitlin. Says, happy birthday, Chip. Sorry.
Oh, hey, you
sorry,
can't.
Sorry, Caitlin. Do you mean Charles R. Mountain?
We'll accept Chuck Mountain and also the mountain. And that's it.
That's it. I know you thought your birthday present would be a personal message from the McElroy brothers, but that wouldn't be a surprise at all. Instead, I got you a large frame photo of Orb winning the Kentucky Derby. To redeem, mention coupon code Orb is 2 steel drums.
He is. He really is.
He is. Well, happy birthday, the Mountain.
Yes.
Or Charles or Chuck Mountain.
I don't think there's any gift that anybody could give you that's better
than if your parents already gave.
Which is Chuck
Mountain. Enjoy walking the land and spreading the good word.
Mastering all you survey, Chuck Mountain.
Hi, I'm Julie Sabatier, host of Rendered. It's a show about making meaning and breaking rules. We're answering important questions like, can you build a spacesuit in your living room?
I went to my brother's place in Beaverton, and he has a swimming pool, and I pressurized the suit and sat down there underwater for about 10 minutes. The thing that I had built was supporting my life. That felt really good.
What does it sound like when you play a polka record through a styrofoam cup? And what happens when an airport carpet gains a cult following?
Oh my goodness, the carpet has an Instagram.
Check out Rendered now at MaximumFun.org or wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
Do you guys want a Yahoo?
Yes.
Yeah, please.
This one was sent in by game-recognized game Rachel Sperling. Thank you, Rachel. It's by... What was that?
That was just the drum beat of like when a basketball team enters. I was hoping somebody would do like the synthesizer along with it.
And which name me 3 basketball teams that's not the LA Lakers.
The Wizards, the Bulls, and the Spurs.
Okay, someone knows their shit. This anonymous user asked this question in the pregnancy and parenting trying to conceive category. Would your semen be able to leave the moon if you ejaculated while standing on the moon?
Oh, God. Sorry, it's showing up on the radar. It's coming hard and fast, and it's not breaking up in the atmosphere.
Armageddon 2. We gotta stop this jizz. I don't want to close my eyes.
But I probably should.
I should, because this sucks. Would your semen, you're on the moon, you blast off some dude juice, and it... whoosh.
You've
created a new astral body.
It would enter, like, it would become a moon to the moon, wouldn't it, at that point? Like, it would enter.
It would have its own orbit. Yeah. Uh huh.
The tiniest comet.
A little comet. It comes around every 70 years. And your kids look up with their future telescopes and say, Dad, is that Hale-Bopp Comet 2? And you say, yeah, it is. And I have a secret that I've never told anyone. As my jizz.
I guess the real question in this scenario is like, What mechanism did you come up with to have your wiener out that it didn't freeze off in the void of space?
A mitten. Put a mitten over that.
Of course.
I don't see what's so hard to understand about that. Whoosh. There it goes.
Got you, little guy.
It can fly. It'll take trillions of years as it travels out of our solar system, goes through the interstellar black hole, comes out the other end. It's trillions of light years away from our Earth as we know it. And then to a derelict part of space where just no life has formed. And then my dude juice explodes.
What if that's
and becomes
that's
a sun?
Loop?
Oh my God.
And that's the newest game from me, Peter Molyneux. That is how this is the opening moments. And then from that point, you take 1 ounce of the dude juice to portray, to go to every corner of the solar system. And this is the game that I've made for you, Peter Molyneux.
It has the most upsetting Kinect controls that you've ever...
You will never be more upset by Kinect controls. Graphical fidelity so rich you'll wish it wasn't.
And there it goes, off on its own adventure. I'm just thinking about the departure and just like one astronaut watching another one. And it's like, this isn't weird. This is science.
Ground control to Major Tom.
And then it's
please
like,
stop.
Whoosh. My own little spaceship of my own going on an interstellar journey. There it goes. Salute it as it escapes the orbit. Whoosh. But then it runs into an asteroid. And then it sticks to all the asteroids together.
I don't know why the scientists keep making asteroids.
All the asteroids
because they love
stuck
pizza.
Together. And then it alters the orbit of this new planet you've created. And it crashes into our planet. And that's Melancholia 2. Lars von Trier. He's mixing all of his genres together. It's a spatial sex horror romp.
And I call it Ghostbusters 3. You're right, everybody. I just made it very bad. Made a bad film. That's me.
Lars von Trier. That's
director
and that's
of Ghostbusters 3.
And that's what I sound like. The classic my brother and me bit. What does Justin think people sound like? Hi, I'm Lars von Trier. This is me. Did you guys see Antichrist? Pretty fucked up, huh?
You may remember the way my voice sounds from the time that I tried to sound like Peter Molyneux 10 minutes ago.
Oh, Jesus.
I fall asleep without trouble, only to be slowly woken up by a song, usually at about 4 a.m. Today, it's Starship. This happens almost every night. I've tried putting on ambient music or white noise, but it only makes bop even louder. Do you have any ideas about what I can do? Save me. We built this city. From this terrible, we built this city on rock and roll. Waking nightmare. Sleepless in Portland, not Seattle. I'm confused.
Yeah, me too. Where's
Has
the music
ever
coming
happened to
from?
You? No, I don't understand.
You is find the source of the music and you ask them to shut it down. Like, I don't understand.
No, it's
is
in
it
your
that?
Head.
Or is it in your head?
That's the thing. What they're saying is they have a song stuck in their head. So this happened to me with Bastille's Pompeii for literally 3 weeks. Where I would be woken up from a dead sleep with ba-da-dum, ba-dum in my head.
You're talking about Tarzan Boy 2.
It was so catchy.
I got Pompeii in my head really bad. I think everyone on this call will remember the grim few days in February of 2015 where we were all in confined spaces for a weekend and I had not even the chorus of Genuine's Pony stuck in my head, but just the very beginning sounds.
The opening strains.
The opening
the pony,
strains
the pony preface.
Pony.
Yeah.
And I looked up the lyrics later and was retroactively horrified by what I'd been
so
like.
This is a great opportunity for us to talk about the lyrics of Pony in a frank and safe environment. because this is a fun game. If you're listening at home, you've certainly heard the song Pony millions and millions of times. Go ahead and say the first few words
of the
chorus.
They reference it on Parks and Rec. He sings it at Lil
Sebastian's funeral. I played it at my wedding and I danced with my nanny to it. But go ahead and try and figure out the first words.
Go ahead and talk about that. By the way, this is the rest of the show, so if you don't want to spoil Genuine's Pony for yourself, then you want to skip ahead to the end. Here are, let's like just
if you have a song stuck in your
head,
by the way, just try to get it out, get over it. Go on, Caduce.
Listen to the song. Actually, listen to the song. That's what did it for me. You have to listen, because if you get halfway through something, that's when it gets stuck. So you have to like finish it.
Yep.
And then stop listening to it instead of midstream, because your brain gets hung up on things that are unfinished. And it wants to complete the loop. There's a lot of game design based around that. Anyway, I'm just a bachelor. Okay. Looking for a partner.
Beautiful. Right. I'm loving it so far. This is very romantic.
Yeah. So far, this is good. Someone who knows how to ride without even falling off.
Maybe means horseback riding.
Hold on. Are you having a problem with people falling off of your pee-pee during sex?
Because she's really bad at riding. She keeps injuring herself.
Are you bucking down there? What are you doing?
Yeah. I'm
very slippery.
I'm very slippery.
I'm not a sex time like master. But I you don't buck.
Nobody falls. Gotta be compatible. Takes me to my limits.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, when I break you off, I promise that you won't want to get off. All right? You're starting to confuse some of your... okay, but then he... Just before you can, like, contemplate that line, he gets... Like, in case you've been somehow confused... By the layers,
is
of,
it horses or is it
illusion?
Fucking?
Right, is it horses or is it fucking? Genuine dispels any of that lingering doubt by saying, "If you're horny, let's do it. Ride it, my pony."
But he could be being very obtuse there, and he could be just speaking poetically. If you're super horny to ride a horse. That's me, like, basically every day I'm super horny to ride a horse.
In the more general parlance, not the specific, not the literal horny, but the new vernacular horny, like, I'm really horny to try this burger.
Yeah,
like,
I'm
okay,
horny.
Great,
I'm
I don't
want to
fuck
horny.
This burger.
Right, no one would want to fuck a burger. But I will. I will if you need me to.
If I have to.
If it's going
to
get me this job, sure. Listen, I'm going to be devil's advocate
here. That's what it's going to take to sell you this car.
I'm going to be devil's advocate here because I feel like people have oversexed this song way too much, and I am still unconvinced it's not about horses.
What a pretty fun interpretation of this song is that Genuine has never had sex in his life and doesn't know the things that happen in it. So he imagines that maybe falling off is a problem, or... Maybe someone gets broken off at a certain point.
Or like if it's not compatible because like yours is kind of shaped like this and hers is kind of shaped like that. It's like, well, I'm not going to fit in there.
Some people have
it's
a duck
square
penis.
Hole, round peg.
I don't know.
What do you say before you do it? Probably something like really direct. Like, if you're horny, let's do it. Do you think that's how people have sex together? Like they say that?
I can't think of literally any other introduction to the act.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to kiss your butt. You're going to kiss my butt? Because is that what you
gonna pinch your elbows now? What I don't think. And then he thinks saddles are involved. My saddle's waiting. Come and jump on it. Now here's where I think my theory is reinforced. In the next section of Genuine's Pony, he has completely exhausted any like imagined sexual prowess that he has, and says the lines. Sitting here flossing, peeping your stilo.
He's
sitting here flossing.
Yeah, he knows about oral hygiene. He's got a fucking amazing smile, so I'm not so surprised about that.
Is peeping
your Steelix. He's looking over their Pokemon collection. So, like, yes, I'm on board.
Is it possible he's so deep into pony play that when he says, like, you're falling off and, like, my saddle is ready. He's being literal. Like, if you want to do this, put a saddle on me, ride me around the apartment.
We'll do a horseback ride. Off. And then 9 months later, you'll poop a baby out of your butt, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe.
There's some more vague allusions to the sex act, culminating in send chills up and down your spine, juices flowing down your thigh, which I think we can all agree
it's
is
sweat
fairly,
from the saddle.
From the saddle,
I got the sweaty thighs from this saddle. I need a bigger saddle that has that breathes.
here is the last section of this song, and he grabs the reins of this fucking crazy metaphor and just steers it into a shopping mall and is just knocking over trash cans, cannot keep it on the rails. Here are the last lines of the song. If we're going to get nasty, baby, first we'll show and tell. Okay, so metaphorically what you've done is you've taken us into a classroom where we're going to show and tell about the things that we're about to do.
Wait, and what are those things? Show our genitals and tell about
them?
Tell
about our genitals.
This is my penis. His name is Steve.
This is penis. What is this?
Tell me.
What do you call this?
Till I reach your ponytail. Okay, so now you've conflated ponytails with ponytails. And maybe there's definitely an animalia layer.
He might actually mean a ponytail butt plug from Extreme Restraints.
Or he thinks may very well that he's gonna go so deep in that vagina, he's gonna reach her butt again, proving that I don't think he understands what's up down there.
Is that Genuine's hand coming out from underneath your ponytail like that one scene in The Grudge? Yes, it is. He's deep inside of me. He then says, lurk all over and through you, baby.
He's going to go on a magic school bus adventure through your vagina tube until he takes the butt exit.
But he says he'll lurk. How are you going to lurk through someone?
What's wrong? Hey, what's wrong? You seem distressed. Yeah, my stomach is really hurting. It might be I had some Mediterranean food and I don't usually handle that well. Or possibly Genuine's on a magic school bus adventure inside.
And he's lurking around my
lurking
insides.
Lurking around all over and through me. And then he gets that, he tries to bring the metaphor back around. He says, until I reach your stream,
okay,
you'll be on my jockey team.
Sure.
What are you even saying? I don't even understand metaphorically what you're trying to get across anymore.
Well, the stream is a metaphor for the fact that he can lead her to his penis but can't make her drink. And then
gross.
The jockey team, she's going to be on the team of people riding him.
Apparently.
For competition.
He is not making her feel special. Maybe he says jockey team because he feels like he had to rhyme with stream. But honestly, Genuine, that's a restriction. That's a self-made prison, man.
Yeah, look around.
That's a prison you made for yourself. Stream didn't make any sense in context. You've had no water-related.
Again, Genuine, you did say earlier that she was the one with a ponytail. And if that's the case, she's a pony and ponies don't ride other fucking ponies at races and shit.
How about this line? I don't want you to think I'm a player. I'm going to make you my only mare. That's beautiful.
That's fine, but then you have just confessed that you have a team of people that are unsuccessfully riding on you because you won't stop fucking bucking them off.
Well, you have to have some backups because that's how he thinks sex works.
Well, what he's saying is she's going to have to work his way up the jockey team because you don't just start the jockey off in first position.
You'll get
in
on the ground floor.
Yeah, I'm going to welcome you to the line, and if you can prove that you're better than Jimmy and Steve and Susan and little Jimmy, then you can be at the head of the jockey team.
But until then, if you're horny, let's do it.
You got to muck my stable, if you know what I mean.
If you know what I'm saying.
I wish he threw out more metaphor.
Many things that he could do.
I'll let you shoe me.
What? Yeah.
What does that mean?
Inspect them, my teeth, girl, looking for gum health.
It'll be there because I floss awesome.
An apple, two apples, third apple, I'll eat them.
I'm pulling your carriage. I pooped on the street and the Shriners rode through it. He's in a parade in this metaphor.
Sure.
I'm with you.
Well, that really was the rest of the show.
I told you. I knew. I sensed it. I sensed it coming. Thank you so much to MeUndies for sponsoring our program. A reminder, you can go to MeUndies.com/mybrother and get 20% off your first order. I guarantee both of our advertisers are going to significantly improve the quality of your life. Who's the other one, Griffin?
The other one is Blue Apron. Blue Apron, you can go there and you can get delicious ingredients to cook your own delicious meals at home. It's $9.99 per meal. But we can save you a little bit off that. If you go to blueapron.com/mybrother, you will get your first two meals free.
Also, Max Fun Drive is coming up. It starts on the 16th and goes for 2 weeks. This will be our fourth, I think. But if you're new to the show or new to the network, Max Fun Drive is our opportunity to give you some of like the best shows of the year. And it's also your chance to become a sponsor, a donor of My Brother and Me and other great MaximumFun.org podcasts. And you'll get some great gifts for becoming a donor or upgrading your donation.
You also get bonus episodes, and I can only speak for My Brother and Me and The Adventure Zone, but they're fucking good. You won't want to miss those. So, I mean, I don't know. I wasn't sitting in on the Sawbones or the Bunker Buddies bonus episodes. I don't know the what Bunker kind Buddies of heat you guys are bringing.
Super fun.
Or how was Sawbones?
I haven't done it, but will. It's going to be good.
It'll be real good.
It's going to be great.
Also, I'm going to let you know there's a couple more tickets left. I think there's only a few for Milwaukee and a little bit more for Chicago, but they're going really, really quickly for our live show. So go to bit.ly/MBMBAMChicago. And the other one is bit.ly/MBMBAMMIL.
I want to thank John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song, It's a Departure, off the album Putting the Days to Bed. Terrific album. I was actually listening to it this morning because it got a little chilly here in Austin. And it's a nice cold weather buddy. But it's also a warm weather buddy. It's completely arbitrary what type of weather it is. Just buy the album and listen to it. It's great.
I also want to say we got a, or I did at least, from Rob Toner in the L.A. P.O. box. Rob sent me two Mordecai posters.
Oh, God.
And they're the gigantic ones, the one of Johnny Depp and the one of Gwyneth Paltrow with the
mustache. Oh, sure. Yes, I know them well.
Oh, they're so wonderful. I'm going to put them up in my home. The P.O. Box for the L.A., the West Coast, is P.O. Box 341769, Los Angeles, California, 90034.
Speaking of, super quick, I want to just blow through these because I want to thank people for the great things they got us for Candle Nights. And I've had this stack of stuff next to my desk for literally 3 months. And so just let me say it. Andy sent me Disavow the Joystick podcast. Thank you so much, Andy. Oz and Ben sent us a beautiful greeting card. We got one from Lead Beaters here. We got Pickles from Scottsdale. Got a Game of Horse Sense from Reed. A t-shirt and CD. Kate and Carl Sticker Factory. And Sean Sleeps Naked is the name of that CD. Andy got me Power Factory on CD. We got a beautiful postcard from Nodder Sessions. Scientists, those words don't make any sense. A postcard from Eric in California from Rome, which is beautiful. A postcard from Dennis R. from San Francisco. That's beautiful. A lovely Christmas card from Brian and Katharina. Another one from The Hills, which is just lovely. Everybody's got beautiful families. The Vandenbroeks send us one. They have a beautiful family. I'm happy to report.
Ooh, I was worried.
I know. You were. Thank you, Brian, for the lovely note and the Adventure Zone gift. Thank you to George Zimmerman for the very kind note. And congratulations to Talon Wisdom for graduating college. Thank you, Lindsay, for the beautiful gift that you send to us. Jennifer and Laura, thank you for the wedding invite. Thank you to Nikita for the Jimmy Buffett book. Thank you to the Save the Date from Rachel and Chris. That's very kind of you. We've got a beautiful postcard from India. Thanks to Anne for that. And finally, lastly, a dice bag from Trevor Dearborn that he fashioned for us himself.
Ooh.
These chain link dice bags. I'll have to get you guys.
Oh, sweet. Yeah.
So that I know that was, sorry, everybody, but thank you to everyone who sent us stuff because it really is so very kind of you.
Yeah, appreciate thank you it. All very much. Got a final Yadru answer here from level 9000, Yadru Druid, Drew Davenport. Thank you, Drew. This is by a suspended Yahoo Answers user who asks, where and how can I get a life like Kesha's? I want a life like that.
I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother and Me. Kiss your dad. Square on the lips. Hey, girls, do you want to say, hey, I want
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Oh, hey there, everybody. I'm Guy Branum, and welcome to Pop Rocket, a new weekly show picking over the pop culture we all love to love. With me to talk TV, film, music, and anything else entertaining are journalist Margaret Wobbler, academic, writer, and DJ Oliver Wang, digital strategist Winner Mitchell, and comedian Santina Muha.
It's an intellectual and incredibly snark-filled discussion about pop culture by five cranky Hollywood 30-somethings. No name-calling, no rudeness, just straight talk and a lot of role-play.
I'm only 30-something for another year.
Me too. And I don't tell anybody I'm 30-something.
Pop Rocket comes out every week from MaximumFun.org.